in your research for Data and Goliath?
Now, the most surprising thing about the NSA surveillance is how little is surprising about NSA surveillance. There was nothing in there that said the NSA is made of magic. There's nothing in there that if you watched a movie where the villain was the NSA, they didn't do. It's pretty much what you expected. But seeing it in stark reality is surprising. Seeing the details of NSA programs, of FBI collection programs, of these license plate capture programs, or what the data brokers know, the sheer detail, I think, is surprising. Because while we recognize this data is being collected, we often don't understand the analysis. And that, I think, surprises most people. That surprised me.
Do you think political liberty and justice are threatened?
I think they are. I think we're living in a world where we are being judged by our data. We're being judged in secret, where there are effectively secret courts. I mean, if you can't fly an airplane, you can't figure out why you can't or how to redress that. If you're denied for a mortgage or possibly a job, it could be because of this data. And you can't face your accuser and try to protect yourself. These are extraordinary times, and I think the threats are great, because algorithms are making decisions, not people, and that's very dangerous.
Well, Bruce Schneier, we're going to continue our conversation outside of this broadcast and post it online at democracynow.org, particularly how people can protect themselves. Bruce Schneier is a security technologist. His latest book, Data and Goliath, The Hidden Battles to Collect Your Data and Control Your World. He's a fellow at Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. And that does it for our broadcast. A very happy birthday to Aaron Maté. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Maté, Nermeen Shakespeare.
All right. That was Democracy Now! It is 8 a.m., just about 8:01 a.m. Stay tuned for Positively Revolting Talk Radio right after this.
Tune into cable every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film Occupy the Farm, playing at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, April 2nd at 6:30 p.m.
Our main concern is water right now.
The university actually shut off our water.
What we're going to be doing is handing buckets over the fence.
Occupy the Farm tells the inspiring story of 200 farmers who occupy the last piece of farmland in California's urban East Bay, planting 15,000 seedlings to feed the community and disrupt plans to build a shopping mall. That's Occupy the Farm, Thursday, April 2nd, 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
No, this is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought, tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting. This is KABU, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are here this week before solstice, this second Friday the 13th in a row, which I gotta say, I kind of like that setup. And we are here for you, dear listener, as looking at many, significant transits and aspects, astrologically speaking, are happening. There's an intensity in the air. And to me, what I find kind of interesting is there's this intensity in the air.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about that intensity, whatever that is, people being on the edge, people being a little quick of temper, a little erratic of behavior. And yet we're heading into equinox, which is the time of balance and renewal. How do these things square, as it were, so to speak?
Well, there's certainly squares going on. Mr. Mars is who can be prickly. And, you know, you want to get things done fast, is in Aries right now, which it's its native place to be. And it was trining Jupiter around, who is retrograde in Leo right now. So Jupiter is a gas bag, but it's a lot of people consider it very lucky, and it sort of is, but it can be a house of cards. You have to watch out. And, we all want to go buy stuff when Jupiter's in Leo, and that's an American thing. But it also expands our graciousness, because Leo is gracious and gracious on one hand, narcissistic on the other. There's contrast. Yeah,
that.
But that around the 10th of March, that was happening, and that Mars was conjuncting Uranus, the planet of, let's say it rules higher vibrations of electrical equipment, revolution, just all kinds of explosive, fast things, not necessarily steady. And is this making sense at all?
Electrical impulse, electrical engineering, and revolution.
And revolution.
I'm just liking those things together.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, carry on.
So it was conjuncting Uranus, and then it squared Pluto, which is in Capricorn. All that happened on March 11th. This is this huge buildup that we're getting to the final Uranus-Pluto square. So Mars is triggering the final chapter of the Uranus-Pluto square, which has been going on since 2012, as I've been talking about. Which is going to be exact about the 16th of this month. So impulse actions, unexpected aggression, or intense urges to make something happen now. Not yesterday, now.
Mm-hmm.
Jupiter's expansive trine with sort of enables Mars, adding fuel to the fire, and then an enhanced confidence or expansion of an existing situation. And there's potential here for great leaps forward, but also for accidents and hostility. Move forward, but exercise restraint is kind of the mantra here. Move forward, but exercise restraint. And okay, so these influences are being felt this week.
It's sort
week,
of a
right?
balancing act.
Well, that's very
one
equinox.
Step forward, two steps back, move forward, but slowly. It's like
to exercise restraint. It says not to move forward foolishly or rashly.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
Carry on.
But, you know, do it if you want to, I say. I mean, I'm not here to. So these influences are, as you can feel them this week, and they're going to peak on the 16th when this is a multi-year thing. Shook the foundations and illuminated what was exposed in the rubble, as they say. So the final tremor, as this one person is putting it, may be an aftershock, as much of the deconstruction has already happened. This is it's the deconstruction certainly is the word for what has been going on in the last few years. It's Uranus Pluto squares are time of great revolution, great change, and expecting the unexpected. But Mars is really triggering this to kind of blow up. So even Mars's influence triggers something that seems brand new. Know that it's been in the play for a long time. So in contrast to what's going on above, on the 12th, Mercury kind of floats into Pisces. So you have all these new things you want to do, and they are, but how do you express them? it's a little hard. It's an intuition is work well tends to work better than actual speech during that sort of time. And so it's confronted with a square to Saturn in Sag. Saturn in Sagittarius really wants to move. Saturn's about structure, the basic structure, the bones of life. Okay, you really want to move, but you don't know how to talk about it. Okay, so Saturn's like stationary direct. That means in stationary retrograde, which is going to start on March 14th. So this Saturn thing was going to be active until March 16th. So that this is a caution to slow down, rethink, reconsider, or find the proof before you ride off into the sunset. Mercury is going to square Saturn, which can delay the flow of information or confront wishful thinking with reality, which I hate more than anything. And Saturn retrograde can intensify certain rules or limits or urge you to question them, dear KBOO listeners, while refocusing priorities. And Mr. Saturn's going to be retrograde until August 2nd, 2015 of this year. So that's an overview. If you've been feeling like your head's exploding, there's reason for that. As there almost always is, I say. So
with that,
well, and don't worry, we know that the equinox is on the 20th, 21st.
It's a week out.
But
there's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, and I was really wanting us to do this before the 15th or the 16th, so that people might know why their heads are exploding. That's all.
Well, you know. Here we are again. Friday the 13th also seems just a fine day to have.
I know
the witches are in.
Day, yes.
So we are here to provide astro tarot mini readings, bite sized tasty readings. 503-231-8187. I have to say, look at that. The bases, they are loaded. So let's just get to that, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And first up,
who is our first person? Patricia.
It's a week out.
Yes.
Patricia. Hi, good morning, Patricia. Do you have your radio turned down, Patricia?
Yes, I have it turned down. Let me get off speakerphone here, too.
Okay. That's a really good idea. Thanks.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What are your pertinents?
Pertinent details?
Yeah.
Born March 17th, 1958 at 4:19 a.m. in Oakland, California.
Thank you. Got him right there. Very good. Thanks. And did you have any particular question?
Is there a particular focus, or are you up for the general reading, as it were?
I think a general reading. I was just listening to your kind of general statements about what's going on, so I'm just figuring out how I fit into all that.
I think generally,
we all.
Yeah, right. To me, as a person who's been reading cards since I was 16, oh my gosh, yeah, that's a long time ago. Little realization. General readings, I think, tend to be the best because they're going to tell you what they want to tell you anyway. You can try to ask, but what about my love life? But
Would say, what do I need to know for now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that works too. But yeah, just being open, I think that's always best. So I'm now stalling for time as I shuffle cards. This is the part of the show where
we need a third
person in the studio that can do some stand-up while we're shuffling and calculating and that sort of thing. But meanwhile, back at the ranch. All right. And for you, Patricia, I have this. Oh, look at that. I knocked my microphone asunder. It's all
She's
happening.
She's pounding the table, which always makes for the world's best radio. Okay.
So this is a good transitional time for you, and it's also extremely high energy in a lot of different ways. You have learned a whole lot of skill, and it's important to see the balance point because every student teaches, and every good teacher should be learning, and there's an exchange, a reciprocity that happens in that act. So see where that's fitting into your life. There's a lot of lessons that you have been taking in, and they are good lessons, And it's probably time for you to shift your perspective into thinking of yourself as somebody who needs to know more and needs to know more. We all need to know more all the time, but you actually have a fair amount of knowledge gathered. It's a time to be in touch with deep, deep emotion. It is being aware of cycle, allowing yourself to be a bit wild. And that wildness directed by the emotion, it's the card of the moon. It's some deep psychic activity, intuition. It's also, again, that very core emotional self and your connection to sort of the cosmos, to the moon, to those bodies around us. And in all of this, there's something about your relationship to yourself as lover, yourself as partner, yourself as, that needs to shift. That I'm not sure if it's a relationship that needs to have some change going on, or how you're viewing yourself in that, you know, as a sexual being, as a being who experiences that sort of love, there's some shifting, and this is a good time for you to focus that deep emotional energy, those lessons that you've recently learned, into making those changes that need to happen. So that's what I have for you.
Have we done this before for you, Patricia?
You have.
Yeah, I already had you in my little thing here.
You're tracking me.
Yeah. Well, not quite as thoroughly as the NSA, I'm sure. Only astrologically, well, but that way I don't have to type in 1,200 things every time. Okay. So, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Well, with that, you know, you have Venus in Aquarius. So, and Moon in Aquarius, they're not quite conjunct, but so Aquarian is kind of on the binary gender thing, kind of open. And they tend to be, you guys are like big picture. I mean, you're not an Aquarian, but as far as longing and things like that go, you are more of a big picture thing. That it's hard to get really specific, and sometimes now we have to get kind of specific. It's almost birthday time. Happy birthday to you. You're welcome. I'm just looking at, I always want to see where Pluto is in somebody's chart, and yours has been, so if you had a lot of interesting career things going on, I would assume, in
yes,
some
indeed.
Ways. Yeah, because Pluto's really aspecting, your Pluto is being aspected a lot by the transiting Pluto right now, and it's up there in the 10th house, which has to do with how people see you. And that just sort of shakes things up. It's like, you know, you couldn't be going along thinking, I'm just fine, I'm doing what I want to do. And when Pluto hits that, it can just completely shake your bedrock in that way. But it's usually for the best in the end. But it's a Pluto trine, which is really nice. So that's a little bit, well, really nice. Pluto is just a shakeup. It doesn't matter. I had Pluto transiting Venus one time, and people said to me, that must be nice. In fact, another astrologer said that. That must be nice. And I went, have you ever had this? I mean, it's like it just shakes your being no matter what. So you have to sort of ride with it, but really pay attention to what it is you really want to do as far as either career or retirement or what your next step is. Maybe you're into the next step of that sort of thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Any other?
Yeah. It all sounds very pertinent.
Very pertinent. Excellent. Let's see if I can find one other little tidbit for you. So, and also, because, let's see, you have Mercury in Aries. So you're going to really want to be speaking your mind lately with Mr. Mars in Aries. What else? You have another planet there that I can't quite see because it's right on the cusp. But like most Pisces, you've got a couple things in Aries too. So it's think before you speak for a while. One thing that's nice about text, I had this happen yet. I thought I was someone texted me something, and I thought, and it was a client. And I thought it just, you know, made me immediately angry, and I was gonna do a little smart aleck thing. And I thought about it for a minute, and then I did. Oh, and I went for the compassionate route. So that is my advice to you for the immediate future. But good luck with how your career or you know, big sort of purpose in life thing is going on.
Thank
you. It should
you.
Be good.
Can I just ask, what mm-hmm. were the cards that yeah. were pulled?
Absolutely. So again, I use a very non-traditional deck. The meanings are not always in alignment with the more traditional sort of Rider-Waite sort of, you know, uh-huh. Morgan Greer sort of based decks. But it's the Daughters of the Moon deck. It was published by a women's collective in Santa Cruz in the 80s. And you got the Eight of Pentacles, the Moon, and the Lovers.
Right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And again, for two of those to be in the Major Arcana, that's what would denote the super high energy. Of course, it is a super high energy time, as Lynn was just talking about, all of those astrological aspects that are impacting all of our lives, as well as heading up to, you know, the holiday of equinox, vernal equinox, the time of spring renewal. This is mid-spring, if you will, as in the Celtic calendar. Spring starts at Imbolc, that's otherwise known as Candlemas, Bridget's Day, or Groundhog's, depending where you happen to be in the world. And so we're looking at the mid-spring point. If you look at the Wheel of the Year in terms of the dance of the goddess and her consort, this is where the god really starts changing from babe to adolescent. This is the sort of time of maturing, as but not in a
sprouty,
old.
It's a sprouty, yeah, kind of mature. It's Diana.
Yeah, it's like that, you know. And again, just walking outside, as you can hear in our voices,
it's not really Tallulah Bankhead and Brenda Vaccaro.
You know, we've gone from having the head cold to the seasonal allergies, as have so many of you. So
I can't tell the difference this year.
It's hard to say. But as you see spring bursting forth, that is, you know, that is the epitome of the equinox. It is that blossoming, that ripening, that that the first
sprouting,
buds opening,
I tell you,
as
sprouting,
it were.
Yeah.
Sprouting, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
Pollination.
Yeah, like that. Lots and lots of pollination. Right. And with that, good morning.
On.
Good morning to our next caller.
Frank. Morning. Hello, Frank.
Morning. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, this is Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Birthday was 10-16-1960. Born at 10:16 p.m. in Queens, New York.
All right. Okie dokie.
And
while I do that,
once again, we will have Misha.
Frank, have you called us before?
Yes, I have.
All right. This just helps me because I keep most of these. I don't keep them because I'm tracking you. Trust me. I just forget to erase them.
Because Lynn's phone knows all.
That's sort of scary, isn't it?
Well, a little bit. So I am, you know, how do we say, shuffling. And trying very hard to do that in an entertaining fashion while focusing, of course, on you, Frank. Is there anything in particular you want to focus on, or are you also up for the open, general, what the universe wants to tell you sort of?
Well, this coming Monday, I'm jumping in the car and I'm moving to North Carolina for good. So just kind of wanted to...
Whoa, talk about life transitions, right?
Yeah.
That's like the new hot popular place, isn't it?
I guess.
That's what I'm hearing. I know. I'm going to visit this summer. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying for three years.
So what made you want to go?
Excuse me?
What brought this transition to
fruition, as they say?
Well, it started 3 years ago. I was kind of in a rut with the job situation, and somebody said, well, we'll go get an astral cartography chart done. P.S. It said Charlotte. They said, I want to go to a big city. What if I move a little left, a little right? And say, yeah, it's fine. And ever since then, the last 3 years, I just keep getting these signs. Everything comes up, you know, North Carolina for me. North Carolina, okay, and finally now I'm able to do it.
Excellent.
I do like it when people follow that. That's awesome.
It's beautiful. So are you moving around where the mountains are?
Yeah, I intended to go to Asheville because I wanted to be by the mountains,
right?
Not by the ocean. So that's where I plan to land.
All right. So what I have for you is the card of transitions. In this deck, it's called oppression. It is when you get to a point where you realize things are not working, that you are succumbing to more the idea of who you're supposed to be rather than actually being who you're supposed to be. And that's often projected upon you by so-called friends and family. They don't realize they are, in fact, clipping your wings, but they are. And it's usually time to extricate yourself.
Right.
The next card I have is the Nine of Flames. In this deck, let's just say the graphic is somebody who's loading up a horse-drawn carriage and moving on down the road. It's called the Wanderer. And it is a card that signifies all has been learned that needs to be learned, and it's time to go. So then we have the Three of Pentacles. This is the card of the Apprentice. It is one who is open to learning new skills in their trade, in really involving themselves wholly in the learning and the bettering of their life's work.
Nice.
Yeah. Man, I couldn't have picked those better.
Really did shuffle, too.
Lynn is my witness.
I saw her.
To have the card of the Wanderer, the Nine of Flames, really does, it signifies that on a spiritual level, on a will-based level, you've completed what you can learn in the current situation. And it doesn't always signify a physical move, but it often denote that a physical move is in your best interest because the situation is over, and it's time to head. Because
cool.
You always want to be learning more. You always want to be going deeper into your spiritual and will-based self.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have.
And what I am seeing is, Pluto's like just a little bit past your smack dab on your midheaven, which is that has to do if you're going to blow up a career or a job and move on, good time to do it. And that I can see how those forces have been wanting you to do it. You have kind of a pact. Jupiter is natally sort of in your ninth house, so you're a moving on kind of guy anyway, and it's everything is pointing to that right now. This is a really good time to do this.
Excuse
and
me.
I'm sure you know in your guts it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm ready.
Yeah, and that's what apparently the cards and the stars say too. So good luck to you. You can still listen to KBOO, you know.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome, Frank. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Happy
Thank
travels.
You. Thank you. Good day.
Okay.
Good day. And so with that, we have Chris coming up next. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. So what's your stuff, Chris?
My stuff is...
Have we ever done your chart before?
No.
Okay.
First time.
Okay.
Great. So you'll have to work harder.
I know. It's okay.
Lynn's got to press more buttons now.
All right. Then I'll show them to you. January 16th, 1951, 1:38 a.m. in Seattle, Washington.
All right. Gotcha. A.M., did you say again?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
So can you hear the shuffling? This is the cards actually next to the microphone.
I know we had. So do you have any questions? Or,
well, you know, I'm going in for the general. I see where I'm at right now.
The general anesthetic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So
much for that
ploy to get us something going on besides dead air while we're getting.
Well, I could cough into the microphone again. I could.
Well, yeah, but that's just.
Okay, all right. So then we have a little more shuffly. And now, with that. Okay, so.
Can you hear the cards are going on the table?
I know. I'm just moving them around as fast as I can. Okay. So what we have. oh, wow. You have there's a lot going on for you right now. You're feeling very, very much in touch with your more creative self. You want to allow that to burst forward in the biggest way. That creative spark that it's there. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be fanned a little bit. And you're ready to really start experiencing a freshness, a newness around your connection to spirit, around your connection to your own willpower, your own sense of self as a creative being, as a co-creator of your life. But you have this oppositional force. If there is somebody or a situation in your life that is telling you to be small, to be tame, to buck up and be responsible, to however they're wording that, to tell you that you are needing to curtail yourself. Lynn is so good with words this morning. To suppress yourself, to... I'm not quite coming up with that word, but I think you know what I mean. To clip your wings, you need to tell them to leave you alone. I can't actually say what I would advise you to tell them because we're on the radio. But I think you know the words I would use. Have we been having tea together and not in front of a microphone? Because their impressions of you is not helpful. Mm-hmm. And you are so ready to burst free of constraints. And those constraints are made up of what you have been taught to believe you need to do to be a good person and what others are telling you, you know, how you're missing the mark, how you need to straighten up and fly right. That's just not relevant for your life. You are so ready to do something more creative. You are so ready to listen to a spark. To take you to that next place of really pure creative joyful energy. So that's what I have.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, great. Sister Capricorn babe, you have an absolute packed fourth quadrant of the wheel, so to speak, the astrological wheel. What might that mean? You may ask.
I was going to ask.
Thank you. Well, the third quadrant really has to do with, it has to do with groups, but spirituality. So being a Capricorn with your sun in the 11th house is a little bit contradictory because the 11th house is ruled by Aquarius, which is wah! And Capricorns love structure. You like structure.
I believe wah! Could be loosely translated as being expansive.
Expansive, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because on the radio, people can't see your amazing hand gesticulations.
Excuse me. Expansive and also not real personal. And everything's very, very, very personal sort of to Capricorns at some point. But y'all are made for hierarchical things in some ways make you feel more comfortable. It makes you feel more comfortable sometimes to just have a plan. And have someone with a plan to help you with that.
Yeah, structure ain't bad.
Yeah, just no. We all need structure, but you have Pluto just blowing things up right and left, and this Pluto Uranus square. I would imagine things have been a little topsy turvy for the last few years. But for who has it not been topsy-turvy the last few years? I don't know. Right. That's not specific at all. But for you, you are ready to shine. And I know that's hard for Capricorns because you guys criticize. Nobody criticizes you worse than you do. No one could possibly. So in some ways, what Ani was saying to me, it's like it's that little, that the critic inside yourself that needs to be booted at this particular point, or at least let them. I mean, sometimes there that critic is, can be helpful, but you know, put it, be it nice to it, put it to bed, let it let it rest for a while, and let yourself out, because you have a lot to do, and this is a time of your life. This last. 30, 40 years, I don't know how long you're going to live, this is the time, also it's true for Capricorns, but especially with looking at your chart, where you're just going to really flower.
Wow.
And what you've been doing your whole life is what this is for.
Who would think? Okay.
See what I said?
Yeah. I like it. Well, transition is big right now, so I appreciate it.
I know. And as a Capricorn friend of mine said, change is great, you first. I know. It's a Capricorn t-shirt.
Well, hey,
so good luck to you, Chris.
I'm willing to take the step. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your lovely day. Bye.
Thanks. Thanks, you too. So allow me to say you are listening to KABU, your very own community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And, the witches are in. It's the second Friday, the 13th in a row. We are 1 week before the equinox, heading into a whole lot of significant star aligning hoo-ha.
Star aligning hoo-ha.
I am not the astrologer in the midst. But I hear there's big stuff happening in the sky. And that's why we thought we would just sort of take a moment.
Only important because it reflects through us.
Indeed. So we thought we would take a moment and offer these mini bite-sized Astro Tarot readings. 503-231-8187. The bases are loaded. We have only 23 minutes left.
And Raquel.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you to both of you, and thank you to the cards. I might have more Capricorn than our last guest. My birthday is January 5th, 1981, and that is in Phoenix, Arizona at 7:30 p.m.
Thank you.
All righty. And so... is there any particular thing you want to focus on, or generality is good with you?
I have a general focus in my life right now. I'm in a freedom fight. I'm in court for the first time in my life, really standing for both my and my daughter's rights and well-being, and I'm in a big transition. There's a simultaneous death and incredible birth that's happening. And those things feel unrelated on the mind level. I know they're completely related.
Excuse me one second. Was it AM or PM? I'm sorry.
PM.
PM. Thank you very much. Because that's important.
Rather. All right. So, Raquel, what I have is... fumbly fingers, apparently. What I have for you is this is a time where you need to be open to receiving a whole lot of love and compassion, as well as giving it out. It is a flow, and sometimes when we're in a point of transition or crisis, you mentioned struggle, freedom fight, it is so important not to close down, to remain open, and to surround yourself with people who really do care deeply about your well-being and who are able to support and hold you at this time. You have also a card. It's a card of criticism. It's the Nine of Blades. It is you have learned very, very well the lessons of mental acuity and sharpness. You are very quick to be able to say what need be said at the right time. You also need to hear what is needing to be said at the right time, which can be a little trickier sometimes for people. But it's the giving and receiving of critical information as it relates to a good analysis of where you're at in your life. And ultimately, it is the Crone of Pentacles. It is a card that really talks about your ability to make a good home with all of the... when I say good home, I don't mean good housekeeping. What I mean is a good home for your own self, your own body, your own... it is the place of nurturance for our physical beings. You have learned, again, a lot. You have acquired a whole lot of knowledge and wisdom. And the as it relates to your house, your body, your physical reality, you are beyond your years in knowing what you need to get that right, to have it be a nurturing, good spot. Again, not necessarily so much a physical home, but how you live in your body, how you live in this world. It is deep knowledge of the physical in taking care of in the most nurturing of ways. So that's what I have.
Actually, what you have is a ton of Capricorn and lots of Scorpio, from what I can see here. But you've got Capricorn in the eighth house, which is, and Pluto has been sitting on you for the last, oh, I would imagine, let's see, you've got it at 11 degrees. Pluto right now is 15 degrees, so it's still within a conjunction, and I would assume it's been that way for a year or so, close to a year or so. Yeah, this is a time of, you know, the other thing with the eighth house is resources from other people and help can be, it can be a time of an inheritance. It can be, but in court things for sure. But this is the time, I hesitate to say right will triumph, but that's sort of what comes to mind for me. So I can see how this feels incredibly intense to you, because it is. And it should be this, you know, this next week or two should definitely bring things to a head with as far as that goes. And that could be, you know, it can be a surprise either way. I don't know how you feel like it's going, but I hope that things go in your favor. It's like I can't ever predict where Pluto will go, but it's always the deepest thing that happens to us in our lives. Does that make sense?
It definitely makes sense.
And I hope that things go the way that you want to. And I'm sure that you have worked very hard for everything.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Your reflections and just doing this for the community.
Sure. Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you, Raquel.
Make sure you're having a lot of support.
Yeah. And you can get it.
Yeah, it's there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good affirmation.
Yeah, for sure. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to remind people you can, in fact, follow along on Facebook, where you can find us as Positively Revolting. That's facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can also follow us on Twitter, where
the
you can
Twitter
find
sphere.
Us. We are at Positive Revolt.
Revolt.
So, 503-231-8187. Good luck getting through. And
who's next?
We have Katie, I believe.
Katie.
Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm coming back to life from having had the plague.
Oh.
It's not really the plague. I did a term paper on the plague in high school.
Okay.
The plague
it's what
would
the plague
be worse.
Morphed into. Yeah.
I'm saying. You know.
So what are your pertinents, my dear?
Well, September 6th, 1951. And what else do you need to know?
Time and place.
Oh, 12:31 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego.
That does it for me. Thank you. And so now what, see this, the quiet that you're hearing
that
is actually us getting all your information
ready. That's
the
ready. Mad shuffling. That's
shuffling.
The
shuffling. All these 1951 people. Interesting.
And as we focus on this
five
morning
one.
Together.
Yeah, 5-1, not 6-1.
Yeah, 1951. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. But thank you for clarifying, because sure. I often need that.
It's so true, as we all do. Okay, Katie. Let's see here. I thump the cards around. I shuffle. I do many things. All right. So what I have for you, well, again, big transitional moments, and you are at a time of renewal. There has been a whole lot of confusion, a whole lot of anxiety, stress. It's symbolized by the Five of Blades. This is a card that talks about sort of the whirling of various ideas. It's intellectual stuff. It's busy head is often the phrase that comes to my mind when I see this card. And it's a time that is settling. You are moving away from that. It's been really impacting you. And you are moving into spring. It is the card of the Maiden of Pentacles. It is the goddess of spring in her annual renewal, in her spring finery, is the image on the card. It is looking at really deep transition and renewal as you're coming out of this period that has been fraught with anxiety. It is, and to get from one point to the other is going to require, you're already well in the process, actually, but you could pay a lot of attention to meditation, to settling in and seeing larger patterns and how they play out in all of our lives. The midpoint card I have for you is the Crone of Flames, and it's symbolized by Ceridwen. And I don't know how much Celtic mythology you have, but Ceridwen is she gathers the souls on the other side, and is the transformer. In the ultimate transformer, as it were. So this is a time of you getting to sort of remake yourself out of the whirlwind, out of the hurricane of conflicting thoughts and anxiety, and into really allowing yourself to settle, to calm, and to experience that new breath of the world around you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh gosh, where do I start here? Not bad, not bad. You have Chiron is a planetoid. It was a wonderful astrologer named Zip Dobbins, kind of started thinking that it's part of the asteroid belt between Saturn and Uranus, and they were wanting to combine, say how. Saturn was as far as astrology used to go, and Uranus really enters, you know, that's the age of science and many things right around the time Uranus was discovered, blah, blah, blah. It's too much to go into in 5 minutes. But Chiron is the planet of the wounded healer, or it's a planetoid. It's not a full-fledged planet, but it is, its symbology and its energy is that of the wounded healer. And you have that in Capricorn, and Pluto's been hitting over that. So I don't know if you've been working with alternative medicine, because that's one thing that Chiron really has a lot to do with. But there's been a lot of healing, a lot of wounding, and a lot of healing going on for you in the last few years, and it should be starting to kind of resolve itself, I want to say, a little bit. And for you, I know. I would assume being creative, I don't know if you're an artist, is really something that's very important. You have like the sun in the fifth house, and you've got also, since you're sad and you got a Pisces moon, there's that square that goes in there, and that sort of energy tends to make people do things in the world and not just be contemplative. Sort of the opposite of that, if you know what I mean. But at this point, I would imagine you've been slapped down a little bit with, it could be matters of health, but definitely look up the wounded healer. That's what do the Jungians use? What's the term I'm thinking of? Archetype for you right now. that would be very helpful. The Chiron, the Wounded Healer. Check him out.
Okay.
That's something that would be very helpful for you right now. That's the biggest thing that I see at this point. Do you have any other questions?
No, I have been in the healing profession.
Oh, there we go. Never mind.
Since I was 19, and I just had some major surgery done. I have been medically retired due to disabilities. So
uh-huh.
It all makes perfect sense.
Time to paint or something. You know what? You know, this is 100 years ago, an astrology class when Demetra George first came out with her book about the asteroid goddesses and work on Chiron. And absolutely everybody had Chiron in Capricorn. It is, I know, it's very interesting that it's a very sort of practical healing thing to do. And so I have it too. So and for you, it's I can see how you would end up retiring. It's in the house of work rather than in the house of purpose. So it could be time for you to find your new purpose.
So it's in the house of work rather than purpose?
Rather than purpose.
Mm-hmm. House of work. Okay.
Like it's what you've done, but you're also past your second Saturn return, and sometimes that's time for retirement. But sometimes retirement just means from one thing to another, and there could be more things that for you to do. I think there's plenty more for you to do, and I'm glad that I hope you're recovering from your surgery.
I love art.
I bet you do.
Oh yeah. And what did you say about the Saturn return and past?
Okay.
I know, because we were born the same year, so.
Okay.
So good. I can testify to this. But anyway, yeah, and looking at your chart, yeah. Second Saturn return doesn't usually have the same same intense structuring as the first one does, because we're older and we've had some restructuring. But it can be moving, and it can definitely be... it can be retiring, but like I said, you can retire from one thing to go on to something else. If you can make art, please do. We need it. The planet needs more art.
All right.
Humanity needs more art.
Yeah, this is true.
Thank you. And that's part, and you know, it's healing.
Yes,
still what
it
you
is.
Do. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do we have time for
and
one more?
We can do one more.
We've got to be really fast.
Yeah. And I think that's Francis, is it not? Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
Francis, have we done you before?
Yes, you have.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought.
And I love it when you guys do this.
I have to say.
That's all right. I think I got you, Francis. Let me see. October 14th, 1948. Gotcha.
What time do you have?
1939. It does military time.
7:39 in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in Portland, Oregon.
Yep. It'd be you.
Look at Lynn's fancy phone. My goodness.
And as I said, I'm not tracking this for any reason, except I just forget to delete them. And now I'm glad I do, because now we have more time for you. So, do you have a question? Yeah.
No, just let me know what's up.
What's going on?
Okay.
Perfect. Oh, if we all just knew. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks for calling this morning. And with that, I can say I'm happily shuffling cards. I really, you know, for years now, I've said I need to get better at narrating this process. And eventually I'll do that. Either that, or we'll just have a little snippet of the Jeopardy theme song we can play for this All right.
Oh, not me singing a snippet. Okay.
Well, fine. You know, I guess you can. I wasn't trying to put that upon you this morning, because I know we are both suffering from cherry blossom time. Sure, they're pretty, but deadly. Just like us. Oh, wait. Here we have your cards. This is a What I have for you are the Sun, the Two of Blades, and the Six of Pentacles, and how these fit together. The Sun symbolizes a real high energy, bursting forth playfulness. It's also directly inversed or upside down in this reading. And these are round cards. I don't ever see anything in black and white. That's one of the reasons I really
love
this, this deck with round cards. You get a little bit more gradation in that. So what I have, the Sun absolutely upside down. I would say that you are probably at this moment your own biggest critic. If there is anyone that is stopping you from being as full of energy as you can be, as playful as you can be, because in fact play helps us remain buoyant, it helps us stay in touch with free-flowing energy, it's yourself. And so I just wanted to say that there is a lot that is accessible to you that you may be shying back from. And maybe you want to let yourself just go for it and actually have some full enjoyment right now. I know a lot of times in very serious, very heavy political times in which we live, it's pretty easy to start focusing on the crap that needs to be moved through. But this is a really important time to be in touch with that energy, because that joy is so important to fueling us and to keeping us going further. The Two of Blades talks about balance, and it's analytical balance. It's very heady stuff. It's the card of dialectics. It's the card of really being able to slice up all of your ideas and see how they fit into your analysis. It is balancing your analysis and making sure you have access to all of the information. And ultimately, Six of Pentacles talks about great success against odds, but the key is collaboration. The key is cooperation. And I don't see that as being a challenge at all. That is the one card that is upright, full on. So again, looking for ways to balance your analysis, looking for ways to unblock your connection to joy and energy. Those are things to work on, but know that you can draw great strength from your community, from your friends and family, from those that have like minds and are in line with each other. You know, moving on.
And let me just quickly say, big things, because you've got Saturn going through the 12th house. It's going to be kind of stationary there, which means like spiritually and inside, it just feels hard to move. You feel kind of stuck. Also, because you've got Pluto in the first house, which is squaring Uranus right at the very, which is physical things, and that you could be having some physical problems. But creatively, you want to just take off right now. And I say go with B.
I think I should.
Absolutely.
That's a big one. Okay.
Thank you so much, Francis, but we got to go.
Right, you guys take care.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye. You too. We are completely out of time.
Completely.
I do want to say I received a message while we were on the air that my favorite author, Terry Pratchett, has transitioned, has passed on. He had been in ill health for a while. So good luck
and
to you.
And I just found out Jeff Jauer, one of my favorite astrologers, also
has done
just
the same.
So off so, you two go.
Right. Happy transition times.
Yep.
And here we are. It's spring. Take care. Be well. And be positively revolting.
What would you have instead? What would you have instead?
No, this is it.